Welcome to Online Bible Fellowship Bible Study on the Book of the Bible for this day of our studies. My name is Brother Tim, your host on today's session of Fellowship Music. We record these sessions as brethren come together for a fellowship around the world. We read chapter by chapter systematically and allow the Word of God to guide our studies. We'd like to invite you or anyone to join us. Bring your question, comments, or anything you wonder about. Nothing is too small or too big to ask. Come and join, just as you are today. You know the word said in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Again in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we study, so his word will dwell in us richly, and in all things we teach one another, divide his word correctly. So join us at www.onlinebiblefellowship.com or email ebiblefellowshipnet@gmail.com. Now, let us begin our fellowship. We will start now with an opening prayer and a few song selections as we prepare our heart to study His Word today.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? Steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see.
You are listening to Online Bible Fellowship Bible Study. Please join us as we listen to a pre-recorded session as conducted by a lead moderator. With participants from various countries, we hope you will be blessed by listening.
We thank you for the privilege to study your word. Lord, we are grateful as you open this perfect law of liberty that set men free. We ask, O God, that you grant us insight into your word. Father, we are asking that the heavens be open over us this evening, that you grant us understanding of what we are about to study. Remind us many that have forgotten about the meeting, and grant us good connectivity that we enjoy the study of your word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we are looking at Romans chapter 6. So firstly, we will we have to read the whole of that chapter 6. Then we begin to look at them as much as we can. I think it's 23 verses. So if you can, go ahead and read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 23.
So what do we do then? Do we persist in sin so that God's kindness and grace will increase? What a terrible thought. We have died to sin once and for all. As a dead man passes away from this life, so how could we live under sin's rule a moment longer? Or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death? Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we are also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. For since we are permanently grafted into him, to experience a death like this, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it impacts. Verse 6. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we are co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we will not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. And if we are co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we also share in the fullness of his life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead, to die no more, his resurrection means life. His resurrection life has vanquished death, and its power over him is finished. For by his sacrifice he died to sin power once and for all. But he now lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourself as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal, while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Verse 12. Sin is the throne monarch, so you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over you, over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wicked desire. Passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him, one who has now experienced resurrection life. You live now by his pleasure, ready to be used for his noble purpose. Remember this: sin will not conquer you, for God already has you. You are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God.
So I would like us to take it verse by verse. Take verse number one, maybe verse two. There are questions that Paul raised in these verses that I would like us to kind of relate it with how Christians are living their life, they are expected to live. You know, we have the popular Christianity out there that sometimes you wonder whether it's a biblical Christianity, but then how do we relate that with how Christians are living their lives out there, and then with what Paul is talking about in this passage, these questions especially? So we are free to contribute. Just respond to any of these questions that Paul is raising. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace will may increase? How do we relate that with the ongoing activities, with the ongoing lifestyle of Christians today? Shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? How do we think Christians understand this passage? How do we think Christians are thinking about it, or they are, you know, responding to this? To this passage, because today you see a lot of Christians. Maybe you have come across people that they say, well, we're living in the dispensation of grace, so it's like a license to continue to do what we want to do, you know, free, without thinking of the consequences, because we feel as soon as we finish, we can just, you know, close our eyes and ask God for forgiveness, and automatically it's done and dusted. So that kind of attitude is not making us more responsible to the gospel, but rather is making us to take the gospel for granted. Now that is the attitude that you see more and more among Christians or churchgoers. Let me put it that way. But how do we relate that with the teachings of Paul in this chapter 6?
And the issue is simply that people no longer read the scripture. So these questions are not always there to checkmate what we do, not to talk of even understanding what is grace about and what is the law is all about. There is no that understanding or capacity within believers. It's like people don't tend to read the scripture and even to ask to understand the revelation behind every scripture that is there. So people are just hitting here and there, because if I am to bring our attitude today display as Christian, there is no correlation in any way to this scripture. We don't ask this question. So people are just following today, trial by error, anyone that walks. However, since we miss out the concept, like explained exhaustively last week, I think we have deliberated much on this, and I made to understand what grace is about, that we need to respond with an attitude of appreciation, with gratitude, that we are unable to keep. But today, if you look at our practices today as believers, is more of abusing what even grace about. And yet still people emphasize about the law, emphasize about the Old Testament. But to be honest, no one can stand even before Old Testament. And so it's just like caricature that people are beating here and there. But there is no sense. We have missed it out. Majority. I cannot just rule it totally. But I think majority of the people don't even understand it. Don't even ask questions. On the process of serving, on the process of journey as a Christian, we do no longer ask this question. Unfortunate that even we, the leaders, so-called leaders, so to say, I'm sorry to say that, do we actually emphasize understanding what Paul is asking here? To just emphasize that something needs to be clarified within believers. I think that is the problem. It's a big problem. The big problem that people don't understand. They are just doing it. They are doing it. They don't even understand the concept of grace, how that is, and how we are to respond. This is my little understanding. But sincerely, I'm baffled by this, because people are not responding in this angle. Thank you.
Thank you for the privilege to share this gospel message. If you would like to contribute and participate in our recorded fellowship session in your area, please email ebiblefellowshipnet@gmail.com. Give your name, where you reside, and request to participate in a live fellowship. That is email ebiblefellowshipnet@gmail.com. All one word. We will be glad to send you a meeting to join the next available recording session in your area. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.
This chapter 6, as he said, is a follow-up to chapter 5. Mm. And chapter 5 ended with, as sin increased, grace increased much more. I think the perception here is that grace is misunderstood and misinterpreted and misapplied. So that has made it very, very difficult for us to see that Christ-like life, which supposed to be seen after one have received the grace of salvation. I think the teachers of the Word of God have succeeded in teaching half-truths, and that half-truth, which is easy for so many people, did not just start today. It also started in the time of Apostle Paul, that warranted this chapter 6, because many claim to have received the grace of salvation, but they are not dead to sin, and their old life is still paraded, and yet they are claiming, you know, to have received the grace of salvation, because the grace of God that appeared to all men teaches us to make a U-turn from the old way of life to the new way of life. So to me, that is the perception, and that perception is coming from the half-truth. Because faith alone, yes, we are saved by faith alone, but unto good works. So anybody who claims to have faith but does not have work that is an evidence of that faith, I think the person is a liar.
That's right.
What I needed to add.
Yeah, thank you very much. And you know, talking about both of you kind of lay emphasis on kind of there's a lack of knowledge among believers as to what sin is about and what grace is all about. And I just want to link us. I want to kind of take our mind again to look at what is happening in our day to day, how secularism has decorated and polished sin to the extent that sin has become the most attractive thing in our time today, to the extent that the victims of sin are Christians, unfortunately, because of how secularism has polished sin, has decorated sin, and how Christians they come to kind of accommodate sin. They made sin, they kind of embrace sin and accommodate sin, and see sin as normal because of how secularism has polished it and how secularism has decorated it and makes it like so beautiful that in fact it's more attractive than the gospel. And the danger I see there is that once Christians are attracted to sin, the gospel that we are called to preach suffers. Because the more we are attracted to sin, the more we neglect our commission to preach Christ. And that is what you see today in Nigeria. We claim that Nigeria is dominated by Christians, that Christians are the majority, but you hardly see the impact of the quality of our Christianity. But Christianity is growing in Nigeria by quantity, but it is declining in its quality. So you could see this disparity between our quality and quantity of Christianity. And the thing is, you see how it is secularism that has decorated sin so much so that in our churches, we accommodate sin and make it feel as if it's a member too, that sin has come to worship too in the church, and that is secularism. So I want us to talk about this issue. How do you think Christians have accommodated, in what way do you think Christians in Nigeria, for example, have accommodated sin as a result of secularism? How has secularism opened the gate for Christians to accommodate sin, and for us to be living with it as if it's nothing? When you go to social media, for example, majority of the people that do all kinds of things there that are sinful, majority of them are Christians, or let's say they go to church. They claim to belong to one church or the other. So how have we, the Christians in Nigeria, has the church in Nigeria allowed secularism to to take over. What is going on? What is going on? How is secularism opening the whole thing? I don't know whether you're getting the point I'm trying to make.
For me, I said there is actually, as our father said, half truth. I am seeing it in a different perspective, sir. I think where Paul is saying where sin increase, it's not sin in the life of the believer. It is where our environment are becoming what they have become now. That is becoming, obviously, it's like it's become difficult for one to become a Christian. And Paul is saying, in that situation, in that environment, the grace of God will multiply for you to become a Christian. Coming to the issue of secularism, I think this morning we're having a study and I was telling them, I said, whether secularism, whether feminism, whatever system of the world that the enemy is actually tactically bringing, that is polishing and packaging, repackaging sin for us to actually accept it as sin. I told them very simple this morning. I said, what we show that you are a Christian is actually your outright hatred for iniquity and your love for Jesus. That we actually show whether you are a Christian. Whether secularism package it, make it more fashionable, make it more appealing, and so on. I believe that there is a spirit of God in you that will tell you this thing is not correct. So what we are having is half-truth. One say forever safe is making people to relax and do whatever they want to do. There is the spirit that is safe. It is not the body. The body has nothing to play here and there. And it's causing wahala here and there. And you see someone claiming that he's a child of God, yet practicing same-sex relationship. Because the system has packaged and is making it more appealing. So for me, I said for you, the application for me as a child of God, no matter how secularism we package it, no matter how the world system we package it and so on, there is an inner weakness in me that we say, no, this thing is not correct. Just like, you know, exam malpractice, for example. It used to be exam malpractice. Now they are calling it teamwork. And people are seeing, say, heaven help those who help themselves. You see, they are repackaging it and some people are accepting it as teamwork. But you as a child of God, you know that whether it's a teamwork, whether heaven help those who help themselves, no matter how they package it, you know that it is wrong. It is wrong.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, once again. I think we are stopping at 16. We are not rushing to write exam. We'll pick it up from 16 and flow as God will guide us. So thank you very much. God bless you richly as we continue to encourage brothers and sisters to share with us, because transformation can only come from knowledge, and knowledge, the word of God. Reverend Daniel, please, can you close us in prayer?
Okay, Father, we thank you for leading us even as we were able to go through these studies. Give us the grace to practice Christianity the way it's enshrined in the scripture. Help us to take the Bible as the final manual for life and to follow the example of Christ as the only person that we can model, and anybody's whose teaching does not key into the teaching of Christ. Help us not to follow such a teaching, regardless of whatever denomination that person happened to be. See us through today, and see us through also throughout the week, even as we anticipate to come again next week, same time. For in Christ's mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone.
You have been listening to Online Bible Fellowship Bible Study with participants from various countries. We hope you have been blessed by listening today, and join us next time as we fellowship in another session of Online Bible Study Fellowship.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Online Bible Fellowship today. Please help us spread and present this message of God's saving grace to others. Send any donation as you are led to give to the United Christian Health Foundation to this account: Zenit Bank, 12-26-24-3888. I take that again. Zenith Bank, 12-26-24-3888. May God richly bless you as you give, and do not forget to join us again next time on this radio station. Till we meet again next week, may God richly bless you.